Welcome to the Bring the Wood podcast. It's your boy RK. I'm rocking with
JD.
Oh man, we having some fun. So JD, today I did the first episode of the practice squad. The practice squad is going to include myself and sometimes JD. Sometimes we'll have a special guest, but it's just going to be a quick, rapid fire thought process of what's going on for the Saints. And like right now, if you're a Saints fan, there's a number of things going on that definitely garner a lot of attention. A, OBJ. B, Alvin Kamara. C, the entire roster. D, the loss at Atlanta. E, C, A, B, C, D. So we got a lot going on. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the fact that we're going to be out with the premier playmaker in the NFL on Sunday.
Well,
that doesn't make me feel very good going into the game, but I feel like Sean Payton has this mentality where he prefers to be back up against the wall, the world's doubting him, you take away his weapons, and he still has ammunition somewhere.
Yeah, I agree with you. We've also seen what it looks like when we don't have AK in the game. We've had games where we haven't had AK, and Sean was able to turn Latavius Murray and Dwayne Washington into viable offensive sources. I think, actually, Latavius Murray has 200-yard games when AK's out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And I feel like... What? You were going to say something?
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that Sean will know that he doesn't have this, you know, premier weapon that he can use, so he's going to fire all of his secondary weapons in his arsenal, and he knows that Tennessee is tops in the AFC right now, record-wise, and if everything holds true to the records, they're the one seed, they're the team that'll have home field with the healthy Derrick Henry coming back, and maybe, you know, if he can take down a potential, although flawed, AFC champion with this squad, then that only bodes well for team record, team confidence, and coach of the year candidacy, right?
Yeah, well, let's talk about how that happens. So for myself, I look at our roster as constructed, and for you know, for me, I've been talking about this religiously. Troutman has been entrusted with this breakout season, right? Like, the Saints fans have trusted that he was going to break out. They've talked about him at a very confident level, being like, yo, Troutman's going to be 60 catches, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. Like, everybody thought that that was the realistic, you know, I want to say barometer. It's not barometer. The realistic, like, target points for this guy. That's not fair, because he's been doing both roles of blocker and pass catcher because Vinette's been out. And Juwan Johnson is a wide receiver 2 years ago. So he's a converted tight end. So other than that, we don't have another tight end on the roster. So we've entrusted this guy to do all these things, and he's a second-year player. So now we finally get Vinette back. Like, it was the last day for them to activate him, and they activated him right to the roster because they had brought him back as return, and they finally got him. What if Vinette's able to play that blocking role, and we get Troutman back as a guy, what he was supposed to do, be a pass catcher? He doesn't have to worry about blocking and getting dirty and you know, putting his hands on 275-pound edge rushers that are beating him up, and he gets to actually just go and catch the football. And then all of a sudden, Saints fans are like, hey, this guy's actually not bad. Because we got Vinette doing his job. What if that actually opens up the rest? Yeah, like, what if that actually opens up the rest of the game? Sorry, I'm going a little bit slower on my point here. But my point is, everybody's saying we don't have pass catchers, right? Oh my God, we didn't get OBJ. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But we didn't get OBJ, so we have no pass catchers. We had 5 drops. We had a bunch of stuff go bad. You know what? Sometimes what happens in football, what happens in sports, is you have a bad day. You got a bad day. Marquez Callaway is not a guy that all of a sudden just can't catch a football. Kenny Stills is not a guy that I'm ready to give up on. Kenny Stills, you saw with his touchdown catch in that game. Kenny Stills can still catch a football.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to turn around and be like, our guys can't play anymore, because that's not realistic. I have a feeling without AK in the game, we have a more, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say in unison. Yeah, a more balanced team. Like, everybody's on equal level. Everybody has to do their part for us to be successful. We can't rely on AK to get us 7 catches for 115 yards out of the backfield and be like, we're going to get saved. You know what I mean? So everybody, the pressure on everybody to actually do things is going to be different. So is it possible that we actually might be better in this game without AK? Potentially.
If everyone steps up 20% from what they've been doing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Because he's about 20% of our workload, right? Every week, you would say.
Yeah, and he plays. He's playing 88% of the snaps.
But production-wise, yardage versus team yardage, he's probably about 20-30% each week.
Yeah.
So if they can step up 20%, like, you know, two more catches out of 10 opportunities combined, or whatever the case is, just to make up for those lost touches, lost yardage.
Yeah.
And Troutman's ceiling. I kind of like it. Have you ever been to a house where there's like a 6-foot ceiling in the basement?
I hate those.
Oh, man. I think that's like his ceiling. But you know what? Some renovations can be made, and maybe they can just bump it to 7 feet so you can all walk comfortably.
Or like you could at least increase in certain areas where it's going to be taller in certain areas.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like, I really do feel like after watching Troutman make that catch where he got flipped head over heels in Atlanta game, I thought to myself, I'm like, we're fine. Like, that's like, you don't realize there might be 5 tight ends in the entire NFL that could have made that catch and held on to the football. Yeah. I'm talking Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, Travis Kelce, George Kittle. I'm missing one. I'm missing one. Who's the fifth?
Robert Tonyan. I don't know.
No, not Tonyan.
The Detroit guy?
Hawkinson. There you go. Hawkinson would have been the fifth. You know what I mean? Like, there's 5 guys that make that catch. And, like, our no-name tight end that everybody's ready to... Like, I had to tell one of the people that we follow on Twitter, and I'm not going to call them out, but I had to call them out and be like, hey, listen, relax. Because they're calling for this guy to be cut and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, relax. Like, what are you asking for? You're saying a second-year guy, he's played less than 20 games in the NFL. And you're like, let's cancel him? Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's just take a step back. Tight ends, as rookies, are supposed to have zero production in the NFL. It's one of the hardest positions to have any production as a rookie. It is. It's categorically proven. Like, you look at fantasy numbers just as your barometer to look at and be like, okay, is this true? Look at it. Tight ends don't produce. It's a hard position. And he still gave some production as a rookie.
Yeah, and he undressed. It was Devin White last year.
Oh, my God. And Lavonte David. He got them both.
Yeah.
He got Lavonte David in New Orleans, and he got Devin White in Tampa. My point is, let's not put the fork in this guy. I honestly, I know it sounds ridiculous, Justin, and it is ridiculous. Like, if I say it and someone said it to me and it wasn't my own thought, I'd probably be like, you're an idiot. Nick Vanette might be the saving grace for this offense. Having
an inline blocker.
Yeah, having an inline blocker that actually has the ability to also catch the football. That changes things.
That's maybe, the Josh Hill effect, right?
Maybe we get some screen passes to him. Maybe we get some, like, you know, some short routes run to him. Like Garrett Griffin, when Garrett Griffin came in with Trevor Siemian, Garrett Griffin looked good.
Yeah, that's 3 screens in a row, right?
Yeah, that's Garrett Griffin.
A couple series.
Like, Garrett Griffin's a scrub.
Yeah.
He's on my team. I like him. And also, he's a scrub. He's not David Thomas, I'll tell you that much.
No.
So, do we have the ability to walk in this Tennessee game and get a win? I actually think we have an ability to walk into this Tennessee game and get a double-digit win. A double-digit score win. And I'm going to talk about that after. But I'm interested. Let's get to the prediction right now. Let's jump to the prediction. What's your prediction and how do you have this game going?
The fact that AJ Brown didn't practice today.
Or Julio. Julio's out, I think.
Julio might be out.
Yeah.
But AJ Brown didn't practice. Ryan Tannehill's ill. Didn't practice today. Probably could do a walkthrough tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then be ready to go, but maybe not like 100% on Sunday.
Yeah, Tannehill said he's playing. He said 100% he's playing.
Okay. Taylor Lewan, is he still banged up?
Taylor Lewan's playing.
Mm-hmm. So they're running backs, Adrian Peterson and McNichols.
Get you a McNugget.
Hopefully that's all it is on Sunday. It's one McNugget. That's it. Skip the sweet and sour.
No, honey mustard.
But let's talk about the running back system. So I don't feel confident that they can run on us at all.
0%.
Ryan Tannehill throwing to AJ Brown, where Marshawn is going to step up and play this guy like he played Julio back in the day. I remember going only back like 3 years of this, but still back in the day. Just to show Julio, he's still got it from the sideline.
Yeah.
He's going to limit AJ. Not lock him down. He'll limit him to like a 6 or 55 kind of day. Because DK Metcalf is going to be calling him. And you know those guys, Mississippi guys, they're going to talk to each other and say, here's how I beat Marshawn for the 82-yard touchdown in Seattle or whatever it was. We know that they're talking. But I feel like Marshawn is watching tape of DK, and they're very similar receivers. So he's had the experience against DK. He's gone against Mike Evans. And I feel like he's prepped for this game, because he gets up for these games. Without AJ Brown producing like he does, without a run game, Ryan Tannehill's going to struggle to throw on our secondary otherwise. Our D-line can get after that O-line because Taylor Lewan's not healthy. He's going to play, but he's unhealthy.
Yeah, their O-line's not great.
No, it's not. Derrick Henry makes it look great, though.
Yeah.
So if we can get after Tannehill, obviously he's not a good quarterback under pressure. Because he doesn't have his, play action guy in Derrick Henry. He's good on play action.
He's average. He's the Andy Dalton line. He's the Andy Dalton line. Like he's
oh for sure.
Yeah, he's like right in that middle area.
So I feel like our defense can hold them to 13 to 16 points
easily.
So now it comes down to our offense. Can Sean put us in positions to get into scoring range? I have confidence in Brian Johnson.
Me too.
He's kicking the ball really well.
That 52-yarder was down the middle.
And he knows that Will Lutz isn't back this year, so now he has the whole year to prove to the league that this guy's a viable kicker in a good offense.
He's 2 weeks of kicking like he did last week away from being a solid NFL kicker and being on like the circuit of getting jobs regardless.
Might he make Will Lutz wonder about his job next year?
Nope. Sean has an irrational love affair with Will Lutz because Sean has proven that kickers are expendable, i.e. Garrett Hartley, Super Bowl winning Garrett Hartley. Sean said deuces, and he actually didn't even blink. And Sean has been holding
Garrett Hartley.
What? What did you say?
Record-setting Garrett Hartley.
Yeah, like I'm saying, Sean has looked at Will Lutz and been like, you've got a job whenever you get back. Like, Sean has held that position for him. Like, he's like a little kid in grade 4 being like, this seat is taken. This is for my friend Justin. You're not allowed to sit here because only Justin sits here because we talk Saints. And I'm not interested in sitting next to you, Michael. So I really feel like, you know what I mean? Like, there's something special with Sean's relationship with Will Lutz. I don't think that Will Lutz... I think if Will Lutz had another surgery and wasn't ready to go at the beginning of training camp next year, maybe Brian Johnson has an ability if he kicks, like, really well at the end of this year. But it would take a lot. I think it would take a lot. Anyways, you gave me your scenario. What's your score in this game?
I think we can score on this Tennessee defense. If we look back to what Arizona did to them week one.
Extrapolate.
Always extrapolation, buddy. Middle name is extrapolation.
Vanilla.
But if you look back to what Arizona did, and to kind of what the Jets did to them too, because the Jets limited them with Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And still scored 24 points, right?
And beat the crap out of them.
I feel like we can manufacture that same amount of offense against this defense.
Zach Wilson put points. So Zach Wilson put points on the board.
My score prediction is this.
Hit me.
A weird 19-16 kind of game.
See, okay. Yeah. I'll tell you mine in a second. But yeah, okay, go. 19-16.
I think Trevor Siemian.
Yep.
Throws. For like 17 for 24, 189, gets a touchdown in there, and then Brian Johnson hits four field goals.
Okay, mine's gonna be a lot shorter of an explanation. I think it's gonna get weird. Justin, Sean has already said. The players have no choice of their footing. You're wearing the cleats that I'm telling you you're wearing. So Sean's already come out like Fidel Castro. And he's hit them with, you're wearing our cleats. So our footing is going to be fine. And with solid footing comes balance. And with balance comes a 50-50 run-pass game. I think we go circa 2016, 2017... And we see Mark Ingram go for over 100 total yards and two tugs. I think he gets one in the passing game. I think he gets one in the run game. I think Juwan Johnson is active. I think we see a three tight end set. I think Sean Payton has been waiting for this to show the league that he can diversify his playbook and do different things. I think we see Vanette, Troutman, and Juwan Johnson all on the field at one time. And they're going to think it's a play, like an actual running play. And we might see play action. We might see a flea flicker. I was talking with Luke Johnson on Twitter. And I said, is it possible that we could see two quarterbacks, three tight ends, and a running back on the field all at once? Let me just design this play for you, Justin. Are you listening?
I'm visualizing.
Juwan Johnson out at the X. Taysom Hill in the slot. Nick Vanette and Adam Troutman bookending the line. Mark Ingram in the backfield. We hand it off to Mark Ingram on the right-hand side of the line. He pitches it back to Trevor Siemian. Taysom Hill and Juwan Johnson have both broken free and are running free down the middle of the field. Trevor Siemian takes a pick. Whichever one you want. You got a touchdown.
Okay, route combination has to be, in that case, Taysom runs a wheel and Juwan runs a post.
I actually had the opposite. I had Taysom running a post and Juwan runs a goal because Juwan's got decent wheels for a big guy like himself.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I'm having fun and I'm fantasizing and I'm just joking around, but I honestly think that this game gets weird. The NFL has made no sense for the last 6 weeks.
Nope.
There's been 6 weeks of, like, if you are one of those people that, like, bets, you know, six-game parlays on heavy favorites being like, yeah, no, this is guaranteed money. I'd rather take my $200 every time and walk away. Well, congratulations, you've lost a lot of money because last night we had Miami dump truck Baltimore.
Oh, my God, the defense looked electric.
Like, Miami looked like they were going to lose to Houston. Miami has lost to the New York Jets. They dump truck Baltimore. AFC North leading Baltimore. So the NFL is just weird. And you know what would make sense right now? For something that makes no sense. The Tennessee Titans have beat four playoff teams back to back to back to back. in consecutive weeks. A Saints team that just lost to the Atlanta Falcons at home and played like one quarter of good football to go on the road without their best player, Alvin Kamara, only makes sense that they would come in and just absolutely dump truck Tennessee. So I'm going to go with a score 29-16. It's going to be a weird one. There's going to be some field goals. There's going to be some field goals. There's going to be a touchdown, a couple miss. I think Brian Johnson misses a convert, or maybe Sean goes for two because of the score. But I think 29-16 is going to be the score. I think Marshawn Lattimore has maybe the game of his 2021. I think this will be it. I also think Sean Payton finally makes the decision and benches Paulson Adebo. I don't think it's a sense of you're done for the year. I think it's a sense of the kid might have hit a rookie wall. He hasn't played a whole lot of football in the last couple of years. And that play that he didn't make against Cordell Patterson, that just seems like there's just something going on in between the ears. That's not a football mistake. Do you know what I mean? So I think Sean's like, listen, I can't try and develop you at the cost of our team in big moments. So you're going to watch Bradley play. And hopefully that helps you. And when you get your moment again, I really hope you're ready. And I hope the conversation sounds something like that, because then that tells the kid, we still believe in you. And also, we're not waiting for you.
No.
You know, like...
I think Roby hasn't had enough time to show what he can do yet either.
Yeah, like, it wasn't... That wasn't and A.J. Brown. That wasn't A.J. Brown South, or Mike Evans or Chris Godwin that made that play. That's Cordarrelle Patterson. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to talk crap about a guy that's actually having a second, you know, a second act to his career, because he's having like a good second act to his career. But let's not get twisted. Like, Cordarrelle Patterson's not giving Jair Alexander any work. You know what I mean? Like, he's not making like the top corners in the NFL work that hard. They're like, yeah, okay, he's a good player, and also I can defend him. For Bradley Roby to get that work like that in those moments, that's a bad look for the rookie. So I think we get Bradley Roby some playing time, and I think he's ready to go. What are you thinking?
And do you think that the AFC South connection helps Roby in this case too?
Oh, huge. Huge, huge, huge. He knows exactly what to expect, especially from A.J. Brown. You know, like, so I don't think they're going to let Marshawn travel with A.J. Brown. I think they'll let, you know, Bradley Roby take him on some plays. And they'll leave Marshawn Lattimore on probably the right side. So if Julio doesn't play, you know, they have the hyphenated last name guy. Whatever his name is.
I don't even know, bro.
Akinenemekinekinekine, that guy. So you have Nick Akinenemekinekinekine, that guy. And then they cut Josh Reynolds. They got Charles Rogers, that used to play with the Colts. And then they got Frisker and... Frisker and Pruitt. Michael Pruitt.
Like, they don't have much. Like, they don't got a lot going on there.
I feel like we can stop that offense. I really do. I feel like if we take A.J. Brown out of the game, and we make Ryan Tannehill actually, like, move around the pocket, I think we're fine. We need a really good game out of David Onyemata. Go ahead.
What did the Rams do on Sunday? Like, what did they lack on defense so these guys scored 28 points in them?
They didn't. They gifted them 14 points. The Rams gave Tennessee a 3-yard interception return for a touchdown because Stafford...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and then Stafford threw another interception inside their own 25. So, like, yeah, like, you give a team 14 points, of course you're going to win the game. Like, you can't spot anybody in the NFL 14 points. You spot the Detroit Lions 14 points.
I forgot, but that's been around pick six.
Yeah, you spot anybody 14 points in the NFL, you're going to lose. So, I think, honestly, Tennessee has been living on the edge. And maybe that's just in my head. I'm going to go through right now, and we're going to talk about their score. Anyways, I want you, as I'm doing this, to tell me what has to go wrong for us to lose the game?
Simeon panics without the comfort of AK. And he throws three picks.
Okay.
That's the only way we lose this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. Turnovers would be the thing. Okay, are you ready for this? I've got the Tennessee schedule here. And you can tell me if you agree or disagree. The Rams gifted them 14 points. They win 28-16. That game is a lot closer than you actually think it is. Agreed?
Yeah.
They play at the Indianapolis Colts. The Indianapolis Colts are up by double digits in the fourth quarter, and they basically falter the game away. Carson Wentz gives them another interception touchdown at the end of that game. Otherwise, they lose that game.
And I pick an overtime, too.
Yeah. Josh Allen slips on 4th and inches at the goal line with 30 seconds left in the game, and they beat the Bills 34-31. Mm-hmm. The Jacksonville Jaguars are beating the Tennessee Titans by 14 points and squander the lead in the second half and throw 3 interceptions. The week before that, they lose to the Jets.
Yeah.
So
they're beatable.
So like,
they're so beatable.
They've got 1, 2, 3, 4 of their last 5 wins literally could have gone the other way. And I understand that we're talking hypotheticals, but they're not like really like obscure abstract hypotheticals. Like, these are situations. Josh Allen slipping on a 4th and inches, that's not a regular occurrence.
When they could have tied it with a field goal.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's not a regular occurrence. Mm-hmm. You know, like, a team's up 2 scores at halftime on you in the Jacksonville Jaguars, to lose that in the second half, that's not a regular occurrence to be up 14 and lose that. The Colts to throw an interception to let you tie the game to get to overtime and then throw another interception in overtime, that's not a regular occurrence either. Mm-hmm. Did Tennessee still make plays? Yes, they did. I'm never going to take that away from a team. They got the W. But let's not make them out to be the 2000 Rams.
Or you know, the 09 Saints.
Listen, nobody's the 09 Saints. The 09 Saints, the 09 Saints are like the 2019 LSU Tigers. Let's just keep that. There's nothing like them. There'll be never be anything like them. Anyways. All right, let's stop prognosticating about this game. The elephant in the room for the last 8 days was the Saints wide receiver room is so bad. What are we going to do? The Cleveland Browns reject the trade from New Orleans for OBJ. The very next day, the Cleveland Browns cut OBJ. So, it's a weird dynamic to have to live through. It seems like it only happens to us. I'm sure it happens to other fan bases, but it seems like it only happens to us. What are your thoughts on the OBJ situation? And like, now the fact that he went to Los Angeles, who nobody knew that was in the race for OBJ, by the way. You know, it's like you're sitting there having an argument with your wife and you're like, yeah, well, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean to, you know, wreck part of our lawn. And she's like, yeah, I didn't mean to throw your Super Bowl ring down the toilet. And you're like, what? I didn't know that was a thing. What just happened? So how are you feeling about this situation? What do you got about OBJ?
Man, I thought he was going to just come home. But I guess, like, the fact that we lost Jameis probably hurt our chances a little bit. Because he knows he needs to have a viable named quarterback getting the ball.
Okay.
Eli Manning for a bit, viable named quarterback.
Yeah.
Got him the ball.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, a name, but not a viable name. He's an all-state kind of name. Got him the ball. But seldomly. He knows Matt Stafford is a viable name. It's all about names for this guy. Recognition. Status.
It appears that way.
Going to LA. Yeah. Hollywood. Whatever you want to call it. Their palm trees might smell better than our palm trees. I don't know. but he also knows that Von Miller went there for a reason. They have Jalen Ramsey. They have Aaron Donald. They go all in every single year. They don't care about draft capital. They don't care about finances. Sean McVay is there to win every single year. It's going to burn them in a few years, which will be awesome. But right now, they have so many stars on that team. The name and the new stadium and the celebrities who will be there. Like, he's such a diva. He doesn't even belong in New Orleans. Even though he's from New Orleans. And he gets the vibe and he understands that his high school is like, what, 3 miles down from the Superdome?
Yeah.
And maybe he knew that it's a toxic place for him. He grew up there. He understands the culture. He understands the vibes. But I was all about hoping for him to come. Obviously. He chose L.A. for that reason, though.
Well, I was talking with a couple of people that I really respect on Twitter. I won't call them out because they might not want to be called out, but people that I hold in some esteem. And they were talking about the OBJ situation. I said, listen, at the end of the day, he made the smart business decision for himself. I say that to say this. He gets to go to LA and be wide receiver 2A or wide receiver 2B, but depending on who, on how they value him, the other defenses value him, he might be the third wide receiver that they're paying attention to. So he's going up against other teams, PJ Williams. And no matter how much I love PJ, if you give me a $1,000 bet, who's going to win the route between PJ and OBJ? I'm taking OBJ. Mm-hmm. So he gets to go to a system where they just throw the rock. They don't run it at all. Matthew Stafford throws it 45 times a game. And he's going up against like a trash guy guarding him for half a season. He gets to remake his entire name and say he goes there and he gets 8 touchdowns. 8 touchdowns and 600 yards and 50 catches. He's immediately getting a 3-year contract for $40 million next year. You know, anywhere from $30 to $40 million next year. So he made the smart decision for him. The emotional decision would have been New Orleans. And like selfishly for us as fans, that would have worked out because we need a wide receiver, correct? But
more than ever.
Yeah, but I'm saying for him, I think if we beat the Falcons, this is a real thing. I think if we beat the Falcons and we're 6-2 and we're top of the NFC South, I think Sean's pitch to him sounds a little bit different. I think Sean can be like, listen, OBJ, we are top of the NFC South and you're not even here yet. I think Sean could say that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that could be a pitch. And maybe that helps deter him. But even then, I don't even know if that's enough. Because he'd be working on straight emotion. He's got people in his camp, obviously, that are helping him, like, see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is you go to L.A., that's a big market. It's way bigger than New Orleans. You can make more money on sponsorship. You can make, you know what I mean? And on top of sponsorship, you can make more money football-wise. Because if you play well in a pass-first system, you're gonna excel. So, I'm not mad at OBJ. I think OBJ made the right decision for himself. I think that OBJ is one of those divas. I get it. But I don't see him as a cancerous guy. All of his players that played with him in Cleveland had nothing but positive things to say about him. So I'm not buying that narrative of OBJ is a cancer. Man, miss me with that. We wanted him. I'm not going to talk salt in that guy's name. Anyways, we talked about the game in Tennessee. We talked about OBJ. I think the last thing we got to talk about is, and we'll get out of here on this, season long prognosis. I don't want to get into this too in depth because I know we both got to get out of here. But I want to go win loss. You with me? Because this is a fun exercise to do with us, and I like to look back at it after.
We did it a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I do. And we did okay, and now we got...
We had a different team back then.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why we're changing it up right now. We got Vinette back.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we got Nick Vinette. How you remember that? Okay? Yeah. So...
And at that point, let's just preamble.
Okay.
We thought Mike was coming back.
We did.
We thought we still had Jameis.
Yep.
We thought AK was healthy 100%.
Yep. We thought we had Teron Armstead.
We thought our O-line was intact. We thought. Now, we have to rethink. And I'm not sure my thoughts will match up.
Well, let's see. We play at the Tennessee Titans Sunday at 12 o'clock. You're going to be at my house watching this game with your son.
First time in forever.
What are your thoughts on this game? What do you got? You got a win or a loss?
You already know. 1960.
Nice. I got a win as well. Then we go to the Philadelphia. Revenge game from last year. They wrecked part of our season. I have a win, but a lot closer. Like a 21-20 win where we hold on. What do you got?
I'm in the same boat. Jalen Hurts might hurt us a little bit, for sure.
Then we go Thanksgiving. Turkey legs. What do you got?
W.
Yeah, I got a huge W against Buffalo. I watched Jacksonville beat Buffalo last week. Even without Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Jameis Winston, I think we're still better than Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence is horrible. Then we got the Cowboys. I'll be there. I'll be at the game. The Saints are 9-4 in games that I have been to. So I'm riding the numbers on this one, man. I got nothing else. What? That's a good percentage.
Yep.
So 10-4. 10-4, that's what we're at. What do you got?
I also think we win that game. I think Denver's exposed them a little bit.
Then we go to the Jets.
And our offense mirrors Denver's a little bit too at this point.
Yep. Then we go to the Jets off like a mini bye because we have the Thursday game, and we go to the Jets off the mini bye.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
You know, it's a weird place to play. I can't see us losing to the Jets, so I just can't.
I can't. I have this as a blow.
So that's four. That's four. Five. Is that five now in a row? That's five in a row now.
That's five in a row. Then we play at the Bucks.
10-3.
At the Bucks, I got a loss.
At the Bucks end of night, yes.
Yeah, it's a loss. Then we got the Dolphins in the Dome, Monday Night Football. I got a win.
Yeah, that defense kind of scared me. If they play like that against us, we don't handle a chance.
Sean's not going to be stupid and try and just chuck the ball.
Zero blitzing all the time?
Yeah, we're going to run the ball and we'll run screens. Blitz all you want, Sean's going to run screen passes. Baltimore didn't run any screens at all yesterday. So, you keep on bringing that blitz.
It's a weird game though, man.
Monday Night Football, we're not losing to the Dolphins. Not in week 16.
Not in the Dome.
Not week 16. No. Then we got Panthers rematch. Cam Newton in the Dome. I just got to tell you this. David Onyemata is going to give Cam Newton a New Year's present circa 2018. And it's going to be glorious. Welcome back, Cam Newton. Have a seat.
The Panthers are so messed up right now.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
They're still paying Teddy.
They're still paying Teddy. They're paying Darnold. And they're paying Cam.
They're paying Sam to replace Cam.
And Teddy. It's amazing. It's the ineptitude of that organization
I love it.
It's chef's kiss. It's perfect.
I love it.
So I have a win. I have a win there as well. And then at the Falcons, I'm not going to lie to you. I think Sean's petty. 17. We could have clinched the fifth playoff spot, or maybe even the first place in the NFC. We could have clinched all of it. I think Sean plays the starters and we play Atlanta to the tooth and nail. And we're like, we're not letting you sweep us because you beat us in the Dome on November 7th. And I think that they beat
us. So that brings us to 13-4.
Yeah, you know what? I know there's going to be one or two losses in there that we didn't pick up. So, 11-6 is kind of what I had us at. 12-5 was my preseason pick for our record. So, That's fine. I'm not willing
so
to.
I think the Bucks get the one. Get the South.
Yeah, the Bucks get the South. Unless, like, their schedule, they could, listen, they could also hiccup. The Bucks got no secondary. They're trotting Richard Sherman's corpse out there for his secondary.
Yeah.
Like, if the Bucks lose this week to Washington, does that change your mind of what the Bucks are?
Oh, 100%. If they come off a bye, and now they're two L's in a row.
And they have a short week.
Like Tom Brady's a bit shook.
And they have a short week.
Because then who's coming up for them?
They got... Oh, no, that's the week after, sorry. The week after, their Monday night, they got the Giants, and then they have a short week against the Colts.
On Thursday?
Yeah, they got two road games back-to-back. They got the Colts...
So and they play Monday, Thursday.
No, they play Monday... They play Sunday, then Monday, then Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're down there Thursday games.
Like, there's no Chris Godwin this week either.
Nope, no Chris Godwin, no Antonio Brown.
He's game time.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing. He should have played on the injury report.
So Mike Evans is the number one,
yeah, good luck.
Two and three.
Good luck for that. And Gronk isn't playing either. So O.J. Howard and Mike Evans. The world gets to see what Jameis really had to deal with.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, yeah, listen. Let's go Washington. Okay, here I'm saying it. Did you order those jerseys yet? By the way.
No, man. I told you, Western Union.
Okay, we got to figure this out. If Washington beats Tampa Bay this week, I'm buying an Antonio Gibson jersey. I'm not joking. I'm buying an Antonio. So if Washington wins this game, that afternoon, we'll be at my house. I'll pull my credit card out, and I'm buying an Antonio Gibson jersey.
let's do it.
Yep, let's get weird. And then if the Giants beat the Bucks the next week, I'm buying a Kadarius Toney jersey.
That's not a bad one though.
Let's just start rattling off all the NFC East teams. And then if the Colts beat them the next week after that, screw it. Buy myself a Michael Pittman jersey.
Oh, Pittman. Even better.
You know what? He reminds me of Michael Thomas so much. I don't know if you watch a lot of indie games. He looks like Michael Thomas.
I've watched a lot of him.
Oh, he looks like really Michael good. Thomas. He looks exactly like Can't Guard Mike. Mm-hmm. Not super fast. Not super big. Runs clean routes. And is so aggressive off the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of him. Indy got a good one there. Anyways,
that's
Jay.
Pac-12, right?
What's that?
Pac-12? That's a Pac-12 player?
I don't know where he played. USC. Was he Stanford?
Like USC, I think.
USC? One of those guys. I don't know. I don't follow a lot of, honestly, to be honest with you, I've fallen off a bit in the draft the last little bit. Maybe last year was the first time I've kind of jumped back into it and try to, you know, figure out where guys are coming from and where guys are going. But then the Saints didn't draft anybody that I did any work on, so I was, like, super frustrated. The only guy they got was Paulson Adebo. That was the guy that I was kind of looking at, but the rest of them, they didn't get any of them. I wanted that, you know, that linebacker 2 years ago, Kenneth Murray.
Oh, I know.
And then they
where's he now, though?
He's with the Chargers.
Isn't that much?
No, he's been hurt. He's been hurt as well, though. But that system, like, they're not a great defense. And that's actually really, like, they have Derwin James, and they got one of the Bosas, and they got a lot of young players around.
They're always so injured in San Diego, LA, though, right? Strength and conditioning has to improve there.
Yeah, you got to spend money, but their owner doesn't like to spend money on things that they need, so.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, man.
Hey, listen, Tennessee coming up. Music City. We won there last time we went there. Mike set the record.
Oh, we forgot to talk about Janoris Jenkins talking smack.
Yeah, I forgot about that connection.
Janoris Jenkins saying he's going to tell him all of our secrets. Little snitch.
What a guy. Come on, Janoris. Go get your car stolen again.
Seriously. Like I ain't going to slap that grill out your mouth. Yank your chain.
Jack Rabbit got his car jacked.
He did get his car jacked. He should have got that front grill jacked. Look at those buck teeth. Anyway. Oh, I can't hate. I'm a big fan of Jack Rabbit. But I know. You know what? Not for this week, I'm not. I hope you get
six. Tom Brady for us week one. Last year, I'm good.
Yeah, that goes down in Saints infamy.
Mm-hmm. Tom's first game in the South.
But guess what? You know what's crazy? He's not the last person on the Saints to pick six Tom Brady. P.J. Williams. P.J. Williams.
Let's go.
You know what? I want to get us out of here, but let's just talk about this for 1 minute. You got 60 seconds. Time starts now. C.J. Gardner-Johnson out for at least 3 weeks. We got P.J. Williams replacing him. What are your thoughts on that?
P.J.'s confidence is at all-time high. I trust him. I trust his process to get ready for games now. He's now a seasoned vet on the team, and he's making plays when he has to, and he's been consistent all year long. You know, getting picks in games, pick sixes in games, tackling well. A couple missed opportunities here and there, but that kind of goes with the third round pick of a cornerback, right? So, listen, I believe that he's gelling with our DB room. He's looking like a leader on the field, and he might just replace that energy that CJ brings.
And the only thing, I agree with every single thing you just said. The only thing I would add is that PJ has been in the system for a long time now, and the Saints have held on to him for a reason. I think that there's something that Dennis Allen sees in PJ, and the fact that he's getting his hand on footballs now and making turnovers and actually making some game-changing plays, like in the New England game and like in the Tampa Bay game. I think he's somebody that the Saints can rely on, and I'm really hoping that he can actually like flash for a couple of weeks and be the player that we know that he can be at his top edge, you know?
Yeah.
Because that really does help our secondary. So the receivers, you know, minus A.J. Brown, don't scare me for what Tennessee has.
Nope.
Maybe P.J. can get a pick six in this game. You never know. But on that positive thought process, I'm going to get you out of here. It is now 12:34 in the a.m., and I know we are both exhausted. Saints game is in less than 48 hours, my friend. We're going to have a good time watching that game. And, yeah, anything you want to add before you dip out of here?
Nothing, bro. Can't wait till Sunday, man.
I'm with you.
I'm so pumped.
All right, man. Like we always say, life is gravy. Life is good. You got your health. You got your happiness. And we got them Saints. They're 5-3. 5-3, missing 170,000 guys off IR. You know, no Mike Thomas. And we're still making it work. So, Saints fans, keep your head up, have some fun, enjoy the roller coaster. Ain't nobody immune from it. We're going to have some fun for this entire 2021-2022 season. Justin, I'm going to hit you with a hoodat and get the out of here. Hoodat.
Hoodat, buddy.
All right, my friend. All right.